Wow. Wow. What an amazing, amazing story. If you've ever read the descriptions of our connection events here at Hoboken Grace online and seen how incredibly creative and funny they are and have wondered how in the world do they keep doing that over and over and over again, it's all her. She's the one who makes that happen as a part of our communications team. It's just amazing to hear how God has worked and moved in her life. And by the way, for those of you who are with us for the first time, that book that she's talking about, we give that away to all of our first-time guests. So make sure you stop by the connection point on your way out. It's actually the book that we're reading through as we're working through this conversation here on Sunday, because for those of you who are with us for the first time, that right now we have dove headfirst into this question, exploring the most important question of our lives. What am I here for? And we're not just talking about it here on Sunday mornings. Our Grace Kids department is talking about it with the kids on the fourth floor. Inside of our groups, we're working through it. We're reading through this book together as we walk through this. It is by far the most important question of our lives. And we think we owe it to ourselves to find out, okay, God, what's your answer to this question? Why do I exist? And last week, as we started this off, we looked at how God, as he steps into our story, he steps in with some pretty amazing news, that he steps in and says, listen, I want you to understand something. This story is not an accident. He says, I want you to understand something. I'm not just winging this. He steps in and says, you have to understand something. Before this whole thing started, I had a plan, and I have been executing that plan, and I'm going somewhere, and I'm working towards something. This is not an accident. This is not something that I'm just improvising. He said, no, I have had, I continue to have, and I will continue to have and execute a plan. And then on top of that, he says, and here's the thing, I created you as part of that plan, not as the backdrop of that plan, not as a side note in that plan. He says, no, I created you as part of, inside of that plan. And you have a role and you have responsibilities, and it's significant. And from the very beginning, I didn't just add you later on because you happened to show up. I added you from the very beginning. I planned for you. And not only do I have a purpose for this whole thing, I have a purpose for you. And it doesn't matter who you are. You are not an accident. You didn't just happen to be here. He stepped into our lives and said, no, I created you on purpose for a purpose. Which left us all walking out of last week asking the same question. Okay, if that's true, what does it look like? As a matter of fact, this past week we started something that we're going to try for a little while on Facebook Live. We're on Mondays at noon. We're going to go live. It's just me and Anthony, and we're going to ask questions or take questions from people who are watching live about the conversation from Sunday and about the series that we're walking through. And really, the question that kept being asked was the same question over and over again, phrased a little bit differently. How do I figure that out? And if that's true, if God's telling the truth, like that you were created on purpose for a purpose, then how do I know? How do I know if I'm getting it right? What does that look like? And for the next couple of weeks, what I want to do is I want to be able to walk through that together. And it has everything to do with something that we briefly talked about last week, which is calling. Because as you read through the scriptures, the way that typically God talks to us about this is the idea of calling, that God is calling us, he's calling us into our purpose. He's calling us into the life that we were created to live and what it was that he designed us for. And so for the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at, okay, how do we respond to that calling? And what has God taught us about that calling? And what are the things that he's calling us into? And today what I want to do is I want to start with what I think is the most fundamental calling. I think it's a calling that God has extended to every single one of us. And not only that, the reality is if you don't understand this calling, if we don't respond to this calling, the rest of it doesn't make sense. And the rest of it just simply won't work. You can try it if you want, but I'm telling you right now, it won't work. There's a fundamental calling. But if we're going to know the answer to this question, if we're going to embrace our purpose, this unique way that He planned for us to be in the plan, we have to first respond to this calling. We actually saw it last week in the passage that we walked through at the beginning of Ephesians. Let me take you back to it. The passage is found in Ephesians chapter 1. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says this. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." He's talking about what Jesus has made possible for us. He says, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight." And He's talking about this reality that Jesus, He removes anything that stands between us and God so that we can stand before God forgiven and clean and pure. And then he says this, listen, it says, "In love He predestined us," or He planned for us, "He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will." He says it was God's pleasure. God was excited about, God was passionate about creating you for what? Creating you so that you could be adopted. God says, "I'm going somewhere with this. I have a plan, and from the very beginning, before this whole thing started, I've been executing this plan. And in that, I planned you. I planned you to be part of it." And you have to understand, fundamentally, the reason that I wanted for you to be part of it is because of the fact that I wanted to adopt you. I wanted for you to be my kid. I wanted for you to be my son. I wanted for you to be my daughter. I wanted for you to be part of my family. And the relationship that I wanted with you is not just the relationship of a God. It's not the relationship of a master. And make no mistake about it, we want to serve Him, but it's because of the relationship. And that relationship is not the relationship of a master. He says, "No, that's not the one that I fundamentally created you for. And it's not that I wanted you to be a warrior and accomplish all these great things for me." He said, "No, I wanted what I wanted. And fundamentally, why I brought you into this is because I wanted for you to be my child, for you to be in my family, because I wanted to love you." I wanted to love you. When we think about what God wants from us, there's a lot of different ways that we can go with that. As a matter of fact, if I were to ask you, well, what is it that God wants from you today? What is it that God wants most from you? And you think about the first things that come to your mind. For many of us, it's some type of moral thing. And God wants for me to be good, or God wants for me to be kind, or God wants for me to trust Him. Or God, it can go in a lot of different directions. But let me ask you, how many of you, if I were to ask you, what is it that God wants? What is it that God wants most from you? How many of you would it even come to mind that what God wants from you is for you to be loved by Him? Would it even come to mind? Some of you right now are sitting there saying, "Well, I'm not even sure if that's true. But God says, as he's talking to us about this plan that he's executed, he says, and I plan for you to be part of it. And in that plan, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to adopt you. I wanted you to be mine. And I wanted to love you. It's interesting because even when we hear this idea of adoption, that he wants for us to be his kids, for most of us, we don't hear that he wants to love us. We hear, well, God wants us to love him. And this is really, really important because for many of us, we've flipped the order of how this actually works. And so even when we hear the passage that I want to take you to now, which is found in 1 John, we hear it backwards. Listen to the passage. It says this, 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19, he says, we love because of the fact that he first loved us. But most of us have flipped that. And most of us, honestly, if we were to be honest about how we think about God and how we relate to God, we think he will love if we love him first. That's the way you relate to God, isn't it? You think if you love him well enough, if you get it right, if as long as you love him first, then he's going to love you. Some of you, that's what you've been taught about God. That if you really want God to love you, then you have to be really good at loving him and loving others. And your whole life, you've been trying to figure out whether or not you're good enough at loving in order for him to love you. And we think that's where it started. And God put this plan in place because of the fact that he wanted you to love him and he wanted to get something from you. And if you do a good enough job with that, well, then he's going to love you back. But it's not what it says, is it? It says, no, we love because he first loved us. He says, no, we love because we've been loved. Because he loved us. But for so many of us, we have this backwards. And some of you, you're struggling, you're striving, you're working to try to love God, but you've never actually allowed him to love you, or you think that he doesn't because you haven't got it right yet. But God understands something about you, and that is this. If you're not loved, if you don't receive love, you don't have the capacity to love. At least not for an extended period of time. This is why our relationships break down. Because our relationships are based on reciprocal love. I talk about this in our premarital class. And our relationships are based on the idea that I love you and you love me and this is how a relationship works. And as long as that's going, it works great. But this is the way we think about love. This is the way we talk about love. I love you, you love me, we're a happy family. Barney taught us this. We understand this. But the reason that our relationships break down is that oftentimes inside of a relationship, one of the individuals loses their capacity to love. You see this happen a lot in families that have special needs children, where a special needs child is born. And for those of you who don't know, my second son has Down syndrome, so we meet a lot of families in this situation. The divorce rate among special needs families is insane. Because when you go through something like that, or oftentimes it will happen if a couple loses a child, or sometimes it'll happen if inside of a marriage, they're struggling to be able to have children, it will happen. When you go through trauma, oftentimes one of the individuals, they lose their ability to be able to love because of what it is that they're going through and what it is that they're working through, or at least it becomes limited. And for a little while, the other person can continue to love without receiving love, but eventually it breaks down. Why? Because you don't have the capacity to love if you're not being loved. You are not an endless flow of love. And God has stepped into our lives and he said, listen, you have to understand this about you, and you have to understand that it's not the way that I work with you, because I don't need you to love me in order for me to love you. And I want to be able to pour my love into you, and I want to be able to love you and love you and love you no matter what, so that you then can love the people around you. But it starts not with you loving him and not with you loving them. It starts with him loving you. And God says, I want, you know what I want most from you? I want to love you. Would you just let me love you? I want to love you. And I didn't bring you into this for what I was going to get from you. I want to love you. All morning I've been frustrated because, you see, I have tickets to the 1 o'clock Giants game that started 12 minutes ago. You wouldn't understand. You're clearly not Giants fans, or you would have come to an earlier service. But clearly, I have to be here. It's not that I don't love you. I do love you. But I would really like to be there with my son. And my dad has actually taken my son. They're going to have an amazing, amazing time. But man, I would love to be able to be there with them. I love going to my sons with games. I love it. Do it as often as I can with them. But I don't go to the game with my son so that my son can love me. I go to the game with him so I can love him. He planned you because he wanted to love you. And it has to start there. You need to be loved. You were created that way. Because he wanted to love you. Some of you know, almost on a yearly basis, I try to get away for at least a week where it's just mainly focused on just spending time with him. And people will frequently ask me, why do you do that? Because I need to be loved. And I need to remind myself that I'm loved. And remind myself that God didn't create me for what I was going to do for him, or how successful I am at my job, or anything else. And does it impact the way that I interact with the rest of the world? Absolutely. It changes the way that I love my family. It changes my ability to love you, which isn't always easy. And it impacts all of that. But it starts not with what you're going to do for him. But with what you're going to receive from him. You need to be loved. And God wants you to not just know that. He wants you to experience it. Listen to what he says a little bit later in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. He says this. He says, for this reason, Paul's talking to the church at Ephesus, and he's kind of talking them through experiencing this. He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And then listen to what he says. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. He says, I'm praying that you have power. The power to do what? Together with all the saints, to grasp, to know, to experience how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Those are experiential words. That's not just understanding. That's not just head knowledge. He wants for you to know. I want you to see just how big it is, how grand it is, how amazing it is. I want you to know why it is that you exist. I want you to know that love. To live your life experiencing that. Here at Hoboken Grace, we talk about the importance of our time with God on a consistent basis. It's not about something we do for God. It's about the fact that we have to be loved by God. And spending time on a consistent basis, experiencing that love and calling ourselves back to that love and reminding ourselves of that love. The fundamental reason that you exist is not what you're going to do. It's what you're going to receive. And that's the best news you've ever heard. And you know it. Because if it's based on what we're going to do, we're in trouble. But it doesn't start there. And God is calling you. He's calling you. Let me love you. Let me love you. I want to adopt you. But just as we talked about last week, in answering that call, how are you going to answer that call? Each of us gets to decide whether we're going to answer that call. All of us are God's creation, but not all of us are God's children. The scriptures are very clear that God extends that to all of us, but you have to respond. You have to accept that adoption. And you say, what does that look like? How do I do that? Listen to what it says in John chapter 1. It says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, and then listen to what it says, to those who believed in his name, he gave what? The right to become children of God. We're all God's creation, but we're not all God's children. But God wants for you to experience that. He wants for you to step into that. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. Jesus Christ gave his life to make this possible for every single one of us. There's nothing that stands between you and God. It's up to you, though, whether or not you're going to accept it. God's not going to force himself on any one of us. And if you're going to sit here today and say, you know what, I don't need to be loved that way. You know what, I don't want to be part of this family. He's not going to force himself on you. But the reason you exist is to experience that. And he says, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The way that you accept adoption is that you trust God, that he is who he says he is, that he created you for this, that you're not an accident, that you're here on purpose for a purpose, that you trust that Jesus did what he says that he did. And inside of groups this week, we're going to explore that further, what it is that Jesus did for us. But the reality is that Jesus went to that cross and took everything that was broken about us, everything that would separate us from God, and made it possible for you to be able to step into God's family without hesitation. And we're adopted when we accept that he did that for us. and we ask him to love us in that way. Today for some of you, God has been planning and waiting a long time for this moment. He has been looking forward to this moment because today is your adoption day. And it's time for you to become part of that family. It's time for you to embrace the call. For you to experience the love that you were created for. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here today and you've decided, no, I want to be part of that family, I just want to lead you through a prayer. You don't need big words to approach God about this. You don't need anything fancy. I just want to lead you through a prayer where you can come before him and accept what it is that he's done for you. You can just pray this with me, just between you and him. Dad, I trust that you created me to love me. I trust you that Jesus gave his life to take care of anything between me and you and the ways that I've hurt the people around me, the way that I've walked away from you, that Jesus has made it possible for me to be forgiven of all of that. And I want to be yours. I want to be in your family. I want to be adopted by you. In Jesus' name, amen. For some of you, today is the beginning of the greatest journey of your life. Beginning not with what you're going to do for God, but beginning with the love that God wants for you to know and experience. For others of you, you're here today and you've stepped into that adoption before in your life. But you've bought into the idea that this relationship is about what you're going to do and that you're going to be loved based on what you do and your time with him. It's about accomplishing something or learning something or achieving something as opposed to embracing the reality that, no, I need to be loved. And a lot of times in our pride, we like to think that, no, I don't need anything. I'm just going to do something. And for some of you today, I want to invite you into an entirely new experience of God where you let go of that pride and you embrace the reality that, no, I need to be loved. And you change your perspective of why it is that you're pursuing God and you change your perspective of this relationship that you have with him. For others of you, you've experienced that in the past, but it's amazing how we can be pulled back into the idea that fundamentally it's about what we're going to do or what we're going to accomplish, how we're going to impress. And I want to call you back. For some of you, as we talk through this is your journey, and today you just get to celebrate it. And you're looking around and you're like, man, I hope you guys get this because I've experienced it and it's amazing and I love being loved this way and I love living this way. And you just get to celebrate that today. Whatever it is, as the band comes back up, they're going to lead us through a couple songs. And as they do, I want for you I want for you where you are. You can stand, you can sit, you can move to the communion tables around the room, whatever it is. I want for you today to acknowledge, one, I need to be loved. And then to answer, to embrace God's call in your life. And to experience his love today. Just be loved. Just be loved. Will you pray with me? Father, it's amazing that you love us this way. It's amazing that you want more than anything to love us. I pray that today we would let go of the pride, that we would embrace our adoption. And Spirit, I pray that right now the reality of your love would be tangible in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.